Well, as you saw in the bulletin, the title for the sermon today is Wisdom in Matters of Friendship. This is a practical Christian sermon that I want to give this afternoon. And I know that messages are for everyone. We all hopefully can learn from what is being given during the sermonette and the sermon. But I want to direct this more specifically to the youth, our young people, our teenagers, our preteens in the congregation, as well as everyone else, of course. Because it's very important when you are young to learn lessons of life. And choosing friends is extremely important when it comes to the life that you're going to live. Your Christian life, yes, for sure, but also your business life, your social life. Everything comes into play with the wisdom in matters of friendship. Now, I think we all would agree, as a social culture living in an inhabited planet, it is impossible to avoid associations with fellow human beings. Now, I've known a few people who tried, okay? They were, you know, shall we say, extreme introverts and preferred not to be around a lot of people. My wife is an introvert, by the way. She's phenomenally good one-on-one. I mean, she'll sit and talk with somebody forever, but she's uncomfortable in groups, always has been. She's a phenomenal counselor. She's not here. She's in California, so I can brag on her a little bit without embarrassing her. She's one of the most brilliant women that I know, and I mean that sincerely. She's just extremely educated and very knowledgeable on many different subjects. She's constantly reading. I jokingly tell her that all the books in her office, that if we ever began to run out of money, we could sell her books and live like royalty. I mean, there are books everywhere, and she's read every single one multiple times. And she's always on her computer studying this and, you know, checking out leadership and material, dealing with all different sorts of sciences. So, I mean, she's a phenomenal woman, to say the least. And it's very difficult for me to keep up with her. And often I don't keep up with her when it comes to that type of thing. So, we do have this association that we are involved with on a regular basis at work, at school, in the neighborhood, in church. So, it's important to understand this. Now, Paul wrote in Colossians, turn to Colossians chapter 4, please. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. He says, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. I don't have a whole lot of material on wisdom. I had more, but Mr. Whitlock's covering this particular subject in a series, so he'll cover this in great depth for all of us. But it says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. So Paul is specifically referencing that the body of Christ at that time and today should walk with wisdom towards those in the workplace, in your neighborhood, etc. And he says, let your speech, your communication, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one, especially if they have questions for you. So you have the ability, you know, being able to take the questions that come your way and give an answer for the hope that lies within you, and you do it, again, with grace, seasoned with salt. So our communication is extremely important. Now, in his all-sufficient word, God has provided the wisdom necessary whereby we can develop good relationships with those around us and avoid the pitfalls that you often see destroy good relationships. I don't want a show of hands, but have you ever had a good relationship that got destroyed? I have. And I've, you know, being in the ministry now over 50 years, have counseled many people who were distraught because of a relationship that was severed, and they really liked this person. I'm not going to go into the details as to how that happened. But yeah, it happens. But God gives us his wisdom. Now, there's a particular book in the Bible filled with wisdom on this subject. Anybody know what that book is? Yeah. The book of Proverbs. So you can be turning over to the book of Proverbs at this time. And let's note first what it says about the value of a good friend. The value of a good friend. Because it is good to have a close friend or friends. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says that a friend loves at all times. So if you have a really good friend, he's going to love you no matter what the circumstances. In the bad times, or maybe you're a little grumpy. Nobody here ever gets grumpy, I'm sure. When you're a little grumpy or things are not going the way you want them to and you're a little bit curt or you might be a little bit sharp of tongue, he or she loves you anyway. And they're willing to take the brunt of what you have to say because they may know you well enough to realize that this is only momentary, right? This is only momentary. But then on the other hand, they also love the times when you all get together and have a fun time at the pool or go out and play golf or sit around having something to drink while you're talking about this, that, and the other thing. So they love you at all times. So young people, it's good to develop a close friendship or friendships. It just is. It's very beneficial. They love you in the good and the bad times. As a matter of fact, it says that and a brother is born of adversity. This is the second part of that verse. But you know what? Proverbs 18:24 says this. It tells us that even though a brother may be born for a time of adversity, there can still be a friend who will stick closer than a brother or a sister. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, again, no show of hands, but do you have a friend close enough that he would do almost anything that your brother or sister would do in your time of adversity? Because he isn't just what we call a fair, what? Weathered friend. A fair, weathered friend. As long as things are going well, he or she's there for you, but when things get a little bit tight, they kind of disappear. I've had two or three friends like that over the course of my 70-plus years. But I've also had a couple of really close friends who are not in this area. When I say close, I mean really, really close friends who were like this. They would stick with me closer than a brother. Now, they would have to because my only brother was killed in an automobile accident when he was 25 in St. Louis out by Lambert Field. But there are those individuals who are like that. Also, the value of a good friend is a friend is someone who can be a source of good counsel. A friend can be a source of good counsel. Notice Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume delight the heart. And the sweetness of a man's friends gives delight by hearty counsel. You know, I had one really, really close friend growing up before I moved with my father and started attending church. This was in St. Louis, Missouri. His name was Jackie Collins. And we lost track of each other once I moved with my dad and moved with him to California for him to have some more training at Ambassador College. But if I had issues, he's the one I would go talk with, and vice versa. We would sit down, we would talk about this, that, and the other thing. Now, he always agreed with me, so I never had any conflict that way with him, but there were times he probably should not have, you know, and been a friend who's willing to point out issues. But a good friend can be a really good source of counsel. Now, you want to make sure it's a wise friend. We'll get into that a little bit later. And Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14 gives us and tells us about the value of counsel in general. The value of counseling in general. Proverbs 14, verse 11 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So young people, you want to talk and have multitudes of counselors. Again, dad, mom, your pastor, maybe other elders and deacons. Those are good sources. You know, individuals we hope and pray are very knowledgeable and wise in the counseling that would give to you. But having close friends that you can also bounce things off of, it's a good thing. Especially in the body of Christ, where you have someone who has the same mindset as you that you can bounce things off of. But that doesn't mean that you can't have somebody who's knowledgeable and a good friend and has good moral character, etc., in the school where you attend. You know, in the school where you attend. But in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Now, the idea of your friend being a counselor, you can bounce ideas off the individual. What you're thinking about. What you're thinking about doing. Where you're thinking about going. The thing is, a good friend cares for you, so he will seek to give you good counsel. Now, I understand being an introvert. I'm married to one. But even as an introvert, it's good to have somebody that you feel close to, that you can bounce things off of, that you can talk with about your likes and your desires. We're not eliminating parents, obviously, and other relatives. But it's not bad to just have a good friend that you can just have a good time with. So a friend who can be trusted to be a source of good counsel is certainly a blessing. But having friends who are dependable is not always easy. Not always easy. I again say there can be individuals who seem like friends. As time progresses, difficult time come roll around, and you find out they weren't as good a friend as what you thought. So consider some of these. Advice on the selection of friends. Advice on the selection of friends. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 20. What do you not want as friends? People you do not want as friends. Number one, gossips. They will get you into all sorts of trouble. Trust me, they just will. Because as they're gossiping and you pick up on it and you pass it, pretty soon you might have to face that person who calls you out on what you're saying. So gossips. Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Different translations say, do not associate with a gossip. Okay? He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip. Another translation says, do not associate with someone who talks too much. You know, their lips are always moving. They never stop. And not everything that comes out is always going to be truthful. There might be little variables that come out of the mouth as well. And I like this one. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a big mouth. That's blunt. gets the point across. Now, we moved down to Cedar Creek Lake and live in Maybank. And I play golf. I try to get out at least two times a week now, where I was only getting out twice a summer in the past, and sometimes years would go by before I would play. But a number of people live in Pinnacle Club who play golf there, so I've got to know probably 15 or 20 of them. And two gentlemen I've come to really like. They seem to have a good moral character. They don't curse. They go to church every week, which helps keep them a little under control, whether they believe the truth or not. But the one guy says, look, he says, I don't like talking about people. And he doesn't. He doesn't gossip about anyone. He says, but I do have to tell you about Harry and Samantha. Okay, I'll make up names. He says, they float around here like a butterfly. And they're just as friendly as can be and have a smile on their face. But they want to know what's going on in every person's life. They want to know what's happening. They want to be involved with everyone's business. And then they are very free to share that knowledge that they have gained with other people. He said, I just wanted you to be aware of this. You know, we become good friends. He said, that's all I'm going to say, so just be aware of this as an issue. Well, I found out later on from two or three other people who do talk a little bit more than what he does, who told me the same thing. So I know the couple. They are very friendly. They're enjoyable just to talk with. They do ask a lot of questions that I kind of, you know, rebuff, not in a negative way, but, you know, I just don't share certain things with them because who knows where it's going to go. Not that I'm doing anything wrong, okay? Don't get the wrong impression here. There are people who are like that. And so I will hang around them when they're in a group with us, but I don't go out of my way just to have them become bosom buddies. It's all I need is somebody who's a bosom buddy who finds out everything about me and then shares it with everybody in the neighborhood. So, you know, that's just the way it is, and everyone knows that. So it just has an impact. Proverbs 22:24, advice, again, on selection of friends, people you do not want as a friend. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man or an angry woman. And with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. You see, if you get caught up and have a friend who's just an angry individual and a furious man, and you're with him, he can get you again into a lot of trouble. I grew up in St. Louis. My family had, well, let's just put it this way. They were ruffians, okay? My dad is now dead, but I don't mind saying, now that he is dead, that he was a ruffian. My uncles were ruffians. Three of my uncles owned taverns, not cocktail lounges, taverns. The bar, the tables, pool table in the back. And there's a guy by the name of Bill Tizon. He since has died. I was probably 7 or 8 years of age, still living in St. Louis with my mother. And Bill Tizon was just a short-tempered individual. And I'll talk about given to violence in a minute. But he was just given to violence. And he was in the construction field. And he and three of the guys who worked with him would come in about 3 or 4 times a week into Uncle Vince's tavern after work, came in. You know, they were hard laborers. You mud all over their boots and their pants. And they work hard. But Bill Tizon would fight at the drop of a hat. Have a great day. Don't you tell me what to do. You know, it was kind of his philosophy in life. And one day, you know, he and his three guys were sitting at a table. And my mother, who worked for my Uncle Vince, told me about it afterwards. I was actually out in the parking lot and witnessed what happened, but I didn't know what happened inside. All of a sudden, Bill Tizon and these three guys who worked together, were quasi-friends, came out. Bill Tizon had a cue stick that he picked up from the table in his hand. And they came down the 4 or 5 steps out the back door into the parking lot, which was nothing but, you know, with rock. And I heard him say, as I was walking by, he says, okay, we're going to settle this like men. I knew there was trouble at that moment. Okay, we're going to settle this like men. He says, you guys, he says, start fighting, get this resolved. They didn't want to fight. But he decided they were. He was a very dominant personality. So, to follow his command, they started wrestling. Basically, they were just dancing, okay? Because they didn't want to fight. And they finally got on the ground, and they're wrestling. Bill Tizon takes the small end of this cue stick and begins to beat both of them over the back. Boom, 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 boom. He says, get up and fight like men! And so they stopped wrestling. They got up. And he's, okay. They start wrestling again. I'm watching all this. They start basically wrestling again, doing a dance. Once again, end up on the ground. Once again, Bill Tizon starts hitting him over the back and says, get up! That's not how you fight! And they were yelling, stop! That hurts! He says, you got to fight! Well, we don't really want to. Okay, let's go and have another beer. Let's go and have another beer. So it all ended. But that was Bill Tizon. The fact that these guys were willing to kind of be quasi-friends with him got them into trouble. Now, what if he picked a fight with some big dudes? And there were 4 or 5 of them, and you happen to be with him. Well, then potentially they jump on you as well. So it's not wise to have someone who's of a short temper are given to violence as a friend. It's just going to hurt you, young people. Just going to hurt you. So be aware of that. People you don't want as a friend. Proverbs 23:20. Proverbs 23:20. Those given to drinking and gluttony. Those given to drinking. Not socially having a beer or a glass of wine, but they're given to drinking. Verse 20 says, do not mix with wine bibbers, those involved with alcohol, or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Because that's all he or she is interested in. You know, that's all he or she is interested in. So be careful with individuals who just want to drink all the time, especially if they are underage. Now, I've got a sad story I want to share with you, personal experience. Well, not for me personally, but it was a second church that I pastored. And again, I just moved into the area, had been there about 3 weeks. I got a telephone call from one of the members. And he had three sons, like myself. And he says his oldest son was having some issues that he really needed to have help with. And would I be willing to come over and help counsel him? And he explained to me what it was, and I'll explain it to you in a minute. And he said, I'm very concerned about what he's doing. I said, what's the issue? He said, well, he's always been a decent kid. He said, but the last 6 months he's gotten caught up with this group of three guys at high school. I think he was about a junior. And he says, you got one guy who's kind of the ringleader. He has the car, okay? And he says, they've been going out and getting individuals to buy them, you know, a 12-pack of beer. Then they go riding all over the area. And this, they lived up in a rural part of Indiana. And he says, they put, you know, drink this beer in the car and they're driving. He says, I'm concerned because the ringleader is not really a stable individual, in my opinion. And he says, I'm just concerned about my son getting himself into some trouble. I said, well, look, I have only been here three weeks, a month, whatever it was. I said, it probably would be good if somehow I could meet your son in a social environment and try to build some rapport with him. And, you know, I said, what does he like? He said, well, he plays on the high school baseball team. I said, great. I said, I love baseball. I played it in high school. He's an avid Chicago Cubs fan, and he lived up in northern Indiana. And I said, well, I'm an avid St. Louis Cardinals fan, and they are the worst enemies you could talk about in baseball. I said, that will give us something to talk about, enjoy, and tease each other. And I said, so maybe we could do that before I would sit down and talk with him. He said, that sounds like a great idea. Why don't I invite you over for dinner? I said, that'd be awesome. He said, I'm leaving, going out of town for about a week on business. I'll be back on this particular date. He says, well, I'm going to invite you and your wife over for dinner. New pastor in the area, have you come over? You know, and you can have dinner with my wife and me and, you know, our three children. I said, great. He left and went out of town. About 4 days later, maybe 3 days, I got a call from him. And I could tell that something was desperately wrong. And he says, I just wanted to inform you that my son was killed. I said, really, what happened? And he shared the news with me. He says, well, he was out with these three guys, and they were in the car drinking, and they were driving down this two-lane road. There were a lot of old two-lane roads up in Indiana. And he says, this one narrow two-lane road goes over a creek. And you remember the older folks will remember. Remember the old concrete bridges? Just concrete on each side. And he said they were going down the road, and the best the police can figure out is, and he was riding in the passenger seat, he said they had about, I guess, two beers left, and somebody behind the driver asked for a drink. So the driver's, teenager's driving, he has this beer, and he hands it over the seat. When you do that, what happens to your hand? Right? You mean it just kind of goes this way a little bit? And evidently he went over about 2 feet and hit this embankment head on. No brakes, no nothing, just hit it head on. His son died, one of the kids in the back died, the driver survived, and another kid survived. And obviously the family was heartbroken, and so was I. And even though I didn't know them all that well, being new in the area. But be careful, young people, of those who enjoy imbibing of the fruit of the vine or any other type of alcoholic beverage. Number one, you're not old enough to drink unless you're at home and your parents allow you to have a sip of wine or something. These kids should never have been drinking and driving anyway. They weren't old enough. And if the son had listened to the counsel of his father, because the man told me that he'd talk with his son, explained to him the potential dangers, that he wasn't old enough to go, that he would need to stop doing that, he was going to be grounded, all the things that parents will do to try to help you, right? And while dad was gone, he went ahead and jumped in the car again and lost his life. I think he was around 16 years of age. Actually, I think around a junior in high school. So those given to drink, be careful. Be careful about becoming friends with those individuals. Proverbs 24, 21 and 22. Be careful to be with those who are given to change. Now, change is good, all right? Don't misunderstand me. When you change from, the worse to the better, conversion is a change in your heart. This is talking about individuals who are changing constantly, going back and forth, and often changing based upon the whim and what may benefit them, even if it hurts somebody else. So be aware of that. Proverbs 24, 20, son. It says, my son, fear, respect the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change capriciously. Be aware of that. Proverbs 25. Verses 18. Through 20. Proverbs 25. I think this one really is obvious to the most casual person. You don't want friends who are liars. Just lie at the drop of the hat. Who are untrustworthy. And those who are inconsiderate. Now, we used to say, if you want to find out what your future husband's going to be like, and how he's going to deal with you and how you're going to deal with him, is see how he treats. Anybody know? See how he treats his mother. How does he treat his mother? With deep respect and love? Totally inconsiderate all the time? You want to be careful about becoming friends with liars and those untrustworthy, because they will break their promises to you, and potentially you will put your confidence in them that something's going to be done and then it isn't. I tried to do a little bit of construction now that I'm retired. All the contractors down in Maybank, the one thing they say is it's hard to find somebody who is trustworthy. They will call you, or you will call for a bid. Oh, I'll be out there Wednesday. They never show up. Never show up. Oh, I got something came up. I'll be out there next Tuesday. They never show up. I had one guy in the neighborhood who was wanting to have a patio built. And he said, I contacted 6-7 different contractors to come and build this patio for me. And he says, one showed up, said, I will have a bid to you the beginning of next week. This was like on a Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday. I have a bid. He said, I never got the bid and never heard from him again. So he said, I built the patio myself. And he did a great job, by the way. He put a stream in it and everything else. It looks really good. And he saved himself a few bucks doing it himself. But again, people are just untrustworthy, especially in the construction field today as a whole. I don't want to label everybody, right? I'm just telling you with the experience of contractors, general contractors that I have personally talked with. I already talked about those given to violence, used the example of Bill Tizon, but my sixth point was be careful of those given to violence. It goes along with those who are short-tempered. The sort of friends you want, okay? The sort of friends you want. Proverbs 13, Proverbs 13, and verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. You want to try to find people who you know are wise, because you can tell how knowledgeable they are. Mr. Armstrong, I remember him saying more than once when he was talking about his time in advertising, he says, I always try to hang around successful people. I always try to hang around successful people. I don't know if Fred, being at AC, ever heard him say that or not, but he said that more than once in my hearing. And he would encourage, you know, the ABC students, Ambassador College students, to, you know, to seek wise counsel, and to be around those individuals, you know, who were successful in life. So you want to be around wise. I'm not going to go into this in great detail because, like I said, Mr. Whitlock's covering it in great detail with the three elements that he's covering. Proverbs 13, verse 14 says, the law of the wise, young people, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. To turn one away from the snares of death. So hanging around people who are knowledgeable, who have a lot of wisdom, especially spiritual wisdom, understanding within the body of Christ, it is to your benefit. And as I said, two scriptures that I actually made my own, took as my motto when I left here. As a matter of fact, it was within a month after leaving Dallas. I got up to Ohio, was Deuteronomy 10:12. Everything, and I paraphrase, everything the Lord, our Father, our God, asks us to do, and it talks about the commandments, He asks us to do it for our benefit. There's great wisdom, great safety in the Word of God. And so you want to find individuals who have a little bit of wisdom and common sense, not some foolish individual who, you know, gets into trouble at the drop of a hat. No show of hands, teens. Do you know anybody like that? Just gets into trouble at the drop of a hat? Well, no show of hands, but I'm glad you raised it after all. I think we all have known somebody. They're just foolish individuals. Foolish individuals. Stay away from those individuals. Seek someone who is wise. I think all of us are aware of apprentice programs. My two older boys were involved with apprentice programs with IBM. How many here remember Chuck Daniels? Remember Chuck Daniels? He worked at IBM, and he was my oldest son. He hired as an apprentice after school. He'd go and work with him. And then when he went off to Ambassador College, my second son, Scott, went over and took his place. It was a tremendous blessing for them. But being involved with an apprenticeship, especially somebody who understood what Chuck did at that particular time, was a blessing for my sons. And it gave them an idea of what it's like to work, in that particular case, to work in a corporate environment, you know, which Scott in particular enjoys, and he's been involved with it for quite a while. But apprenticeships, how many here are familiar with mentoring? Mentoring. We started a mentoring program when I was pastoring in Dallas. We had, I think, 10 men and women who had specific skills in the church. And we set up a mentoring program for our youth. And each person I think we had 15 who wanted to be involved. Each person took, shall we say, two teenagers and worked with them in their different fields. Jay Holmes, some of you may remember Jay. You know, he took one or two and taught them and mentored them in mechanical work, you know. But others, like my sons, were involved with more of a corporate environment. So it was a good program. And I don't know if you can get into a mentoring program, but it's not a bad thing if you can. It gives you a little extra money. It looks pretty good on your resume. And as I said, Mr. Armstrong said that he always tried to hang around successful people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said, the wrong kind of friends can be a corrupting influence. The wrong kind of friends can be a corrupting influence. But a friend who is good and wise is one you want to hold on to. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, do not be deceived, young people. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. So awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak to this to your shame. He was actually trying to help some of them realize, if you go back and do a study on the book of Corinthians, you'll find some of the members were kind of reverting back to some of their old habits. And they were, shall we say, perverting the knowledge of God and falling back into sin. And he said, look, I speak this to your shame. This should not be happening. This should not be happening. So members of the church, he was saying, evil company corrupts good habits. We had a gentleman in Fort Wayne, I'll mention the area, who came to church. He was a new person. Was there about 5 or 6 months, and he came out of the drug world, you know. And he knew exactly where to get the drugs in downtown Fort Wayne. And he was trying to his best to come out of that world. He actually moved a little farther away from his community because it was rampant there, or rife. And he said, but these guys know where I live. He said, so I'm going to move to St. Louis. I said, well, you know, that may not be a bad idea as you get out of the environment, but realize this. With your history, wherever you go, you will know where the drugs are located. And so it isn't just a matter of relocating that's going to resolve the problem. It's that internal, right, change, conversion, asking God to help you deal with this particular issue. So, you know, he did. He moved to St. Louis, and I never heard from him since. So I hope he did well. Let's move on. Let me move into the area of advice on maintaining good friendships. Okay. First one is things to avoid which can disrupt a good friendship. We'll look at things that are good in a moment. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. The first point under advice on maintaining good friendships, things to avoid. Number one, don't repeat everything you hear. Don't repeat everything you hear. Boy, I was in high school. I knew how enjoyable it was to repeat all the things I heard, especially from the big guys on campus. It was amazing how, as you grew older, you realized they were nothing more than braggadocios, you know. Many of the things that they were bragging about, they never ever did. So don't repeat everything you hear. Proverbs 17:9 says, he that covers a transgression seeks love. The Hebrew actually means promotes love. Promotes love. He that covers a transgression promotes love. It's good for us to cover a fault. Shall we say, when the glory of God and the good of our neighborhood and the commonwealth do not require its publication. Obviously, if it's a legal matter and you got to do certain things, and for the benefit of helping somebody, you might need to share it with someone who can help, not the entire neighborhood, right? How many of you, no show of hands, how many of you just let things go? I have, I'm sure most of you have. You know, things have occurred and you just let them go because you just covered that problem. Well, maybe he didn't mean it, or she didn't mean it, or he was in a bad mood, and just let it go. You don't spread it to everybody else. So he that covers the transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. When it says he that repeats a matter separates friends, he means he revives the remembrance of some injury or cause of quarrel. That happens all the time, where you try to get people on your side, right? So you rehearse what has happened from your perspective. Your perspective. So you revive the remembrance of some injury or cause of quarrel, which ought to be considered and consigned to oblivion. Just assigned to oblivion. That particular statement came from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. I like that one, where it says it ought to be, eliminated, consigned to oblivion. Let me read this from Matthew Henry's commentary. It says, the way to preserve peace among relations and neighbors is to make the best of everything. Not to tell others what has been said or done against them when it is not all that necessary and because of their safety. Okay? When it's not all necessary to their safety, I should say. And he says, not taking notice, again, if it's not going to impact their safety. So, it takes a little bit of wisdom, young people, to know when to open your mouth and when to keep it shut. You know, I had a member come to me in another congregation, not Fort Wayne, I used two examples there, who said he was just very concerned about his brother. I said, well, have you gone to talk with him? I didn't even ask him what it was. Have you gone to talk with him? He said, I have. And he doesn't want to listen. And I felt he's not going to like the fact that I've come to you because I've asked him to go counsel with you. And he said, nah, I don't need to. He said, but I'm concerned for his well-being and his health and his life. And then he told me what the story was. And under the circumstances, it was the type of thing that he really didn't need to bring to somebody's attention. Maybe he should have taken another close friend of the two of them and go talk with them first. You know, but he didn't want to. He let it go for a long time. He knew it would be embarrassing to the gentleman. So I did call him and set up a time to go visit. I took this gentleman with me. And we had a really nice, peaceful visit. The gentleman, I'm not going to say what the problem was, acknowledged that it's really something he's been dealing with for the last 2 years. He needs to get under control. So we set up a program, whereas whenever this issue would potentially arise, he would call me. Matter of fact, I had him call me once a week anyway. Call me once a week. He knew he had to call the pastor, right? So call me once a week. Let me know how things are progressing. Then after that, when he seemed to really get it under control, I just said, look, when the temptation arises again or you have an issue, call me. Just call me. I don't care what time of the day or night. Just call me. And he did 2 or 3 times. But he did get it under control, which was awesome. It was awesome. But this other member did the right thing in that case. It was not the type of thing he should have covered. He needed to bring it to somebody's attention for the guy's well-being and even his physical health. But often it's a matter of you just let it go right on by because it's not that big a deal and it's not going to hurt you, the church, or anyone else. Next point, avoid senseless arguments. Proverbs 17 and verse 14. Avoid senseless arguments. Proverbs 17 and verse 14. It says, the beginning of strife is as when one lets out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Now, how many are familiar with the damage water can do? I was building our house in Maybank, and about a week or two before the gutters were going on, and we had a steep incline down to the water, and we had a layover from the subs being able to come out, so I went ahead and put the retaining walls up. Nice and dry. In the moment. And I don't know if you all remember, but about 3 years ago, we got that 12 straight days of torrential rain. I mean, it just poured and poured and poured. And there was someone working inside my house at that time who said, Frank, he says, it's like Niagara Falls coming off your roof. And water is hitting the slope, going down towards the retaining wall. It wasn't totally finished. The retaining wall was about 7 feet tall. But the dirt only came up about 5 feet behind it. So all this water came off the roof and off the lawn and just blasted right into the back of that retaining wall. And it blew two of them out. Hydraulic, power is phenomenal. Just blew them both out. So I had to redo them at my expense. But from the house down to the retaining walls, we had ruts that were probably that deep just from the water over those 12 days. Water is powerful. And he says that the beginning of strife is just like that. It's like releasing water. And you get a leak in a dam, and they really get concerned. It can just be a small leak coming through. But that small leak enlarges that hole and enlarges that hole, and you've had dams to actually collapse because of that. And he's saying that is the case with strife. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. And you need to get that hole plugged up or that little cut in the dam plugged up and stopped before it does irreparable damage. And so you want to make sure that, again, when you select friends, that you don't hang around people who are involved with senseless arguments, because senseless arguments will increase. They will get worse and worse and worse, just like that water is what they're being told here. Let me read a little bit here from Matthew Henry. The danger is the danger that there is in the beginning of strife. One hot word, one peevish reflection, one angry demand, one spiteful contradiction begets another. It begets another. And after that, a third. And after that, a fourth, and so on, till it proves like the cutting of a dam when the water has got a little passage. It does now widen the breach, bears down on all before it. You know, they're concerned about that, the Three Rivers Dam Gorge in China. I don't know if you've been keeping abreast of that. The huge dam in China. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Three Rivers Gorge? And, they actually have, leaks in it. And they have put billions and billions of dollars into it to try to, make sure it doesn't collapse. And they've had a lot of rain. I mean, the last number of years, just torrential rain. And it's impacting that. Now, there are probably millions of people who live downstream of that dam, that if it were to collapse, they'd all be lost because the water would rush that fast and they'd have no opportunity to get out. Well, realize that the beginning of strife might be a little bitty small hole, but if you don't nail it in the bud right away, it can be damaging and devastating. So be careful hanging around individuals who just have senseless arguments. Next, don't overstay your welcome. Don't overstay your welcome. Proverbs 25:17. This might have to become a two-part sermon. I didn't think it would take me all that long to complete it, but I might just wrap it up with this one and hit it next time I speak, because I've only got 2 minutes based on what we've been told. See, I always had a different philosophy. I always told everybody, we always shot for an hour and a half. But I always told everyone that services were 2 hours. Always have been, they'll always be. Why did I do that? Because I want to beat their expectations. All right. So if I went an hour and 35, 40 minutes, and then I stopped, he finished 25 minutes early. But if I told them we were going an hour and a half and I went 10 minutes over, he was overtime. It all depends on the philosophy, right, and how you deal with it. So, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. It's a good stopping point for today. If I continued, I'll be going another half an hour, 35 minutes. So, next time, we'll have an extra short sermon. All right? But listen, young people, I know all of these people in this congregation love you dearly. There's not a person in here that doesn't love you, especially your parents. And I don't know all of you, but I know a number of you pretty well. And I want you to be successful in life. And who you choose to hang around with can be life-saving, just like that young lad in Indiana who chose to hang around three guys that got drinking and driving, and he didn't follow his father's instructions. What is that promise, the fifth commandment? Anybody remember? Honor your father and your mother, that what? That your days may be long. If he had followed the instruction of his father, he'd probably still be alive today. But he didn't. And it came back to bite him. And it was a very sore trial, to say the least, on dad and mom and the brothers. All right, brethren, let's wrap it up there. And like I say, I need to mark where I stopped, and we'll pick this up next time. I've still got a couple more Roman numerals to go through.